I'm Ron Chupa. I'm the director of the Catalina Film Festival and the Catalina Film Society. Talking with David Spalcho, who is the writer-director of Things I Don't Understand, which will be showing this Saturday at the Hotel Metropole conference room. And you can come at 7 o'clock to come see his masterpiece. And thank you for letting us screen your film at the Film Society this coming weekend. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
The first question that I like to ask all the filmmakers, whether it's at our film festival or I just meet them on the street, is especially with interesting content like this. You wrote this and you directed it. So where was the inspiration? What was the catalyst that started a story like this for you? Because it goes to some pretty deep places. And maybe we should give a synopsis of the fact that your lead, unless you want to give the details.
The film deals a lot with faith and relationships, and it's about a young woman who's trying to figure out what happens when you die, and she's researching it. It's kind of her graduate studies, and she sort of pushes herself into frustration because she can't solve this kind of like life question with scientific methods. And she kind of burns herself out and has a failed suicide attempt that she calls an experiment. And then sort of, you know, just goes off into her own world until she starts building these relationships again with her roommates, a young girl who's dying of cancer in a hospice that she's interviewing for her thesis, and a bartender downstairs. These are sort of cathartic relationships that kind of bring her back. So the film to me is more about the idea of faith and what we believe, not specifically, but also how the people in your lives and things that happen to you affect and change you and your ideas on that. And I think the initial idea was when I was at film school, we came up with short films and my thesis film. I had done some volunteer hospice work when I was younger. And so I had written the scenes between the two women in the hospice, just kind of talking about life and faith. But it wasn't really a story. It was just these, like, wordy scenes, people sitting in a room. And then after I'd finished my first film, I was very, very burned out. And I found these pages, and I didn't think I was ever going to make another film. So I just started writing more for myself, I think, as like kind of a therapeutic, just to see, like, an exercise. Not really thinking it was going to go anywhere, and then sort of form the other characters from people I had met and things and kind of form shape to the story.
For this setting, like, I understand that you yourself, you just said, worked within a hospice system, which I'm sure was probably eye-opening on many different levels that you can't even fill into a, you know, a one-and-a-half-hour feature.
Absolutely.
Why this story, then? Why did you pick the journey of, it's Molly, Molly's character?
Violet. I think it just...
Violet, sort of, sorry.
Yeah.
Molly's the actress that plays Violet.
The arc of the character of Violet, played by Molly Ryman, was sort of, like I said, I think these were always...
Why that vehicle, I guess I'm asking, what made you, as a writer, it fascinates me, what made you say, this is kind of the way I wanted to tell that story?
I just think it's my voice. I think it's just kind of how I see the world. It's a lot of my own thoughts and philosophy, and mixing with some other stuff. But it also, and I think I had worked with Molly in my first film, and she had sort of played a completely different character, and I knew she had a lot more range than she had a chance to show. So I thought, I think what helped me shape the narrative too, and kind of picking a character like Violet, who's kind of acerbic and kind of detached, and just so looking for something, like some kind of answer, and kind of using Molly to do that, because what Molly had as an actress, other than being very talented, is that she's got there's something very, very likable about her. And the character of Violet, even though she goes on this journey and kind of does redeem herself a bit, can be very awful, very off-putting. And I think
you needed
somebody like Molly to kind of inhabit that and make her real and make her relatable, even when she's doing things where you're like, you know, I kind of hate this person. So I think I just picked it because it just sort of matched my own philosophy on life, and you know, it's very, very dark sometimes, and very, very you know, there's some deep issues, but it's also light and funny and to me, human, which I think is very important too, because I think somebody else could have told the story much darker.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Truppo with the Catalina Film Society. You're listening to an interview that I had with David Spaltrow. He is the writer and director of Things I Don't Understand. That will be at the Film Society screening this Saturday, October 13th, at the Hotel Metropole at 7 p.m. And it's a pretty interesting drama about a grad student that's dealing with an eviction in Brooklyn and forms a cathartic relationship with a local bartender hiding his own secrets in a terminally ill hospice patient she's interviewing for her thesis on what happens after we die. So it's a very interesting drama in the same vein for this October Halloween month. So come out. And you can also find more information about it at catalinafilm.com. And here is the interview with David Spaltrow.
The people that she interviews, they seem very, and this is, you know, hats off to you, they seem very real. They seem like they're truly, you know, into their experiences. I mean, to me, that tells me one of two things as a filmmaker myself, that that's good directing, good acting, or both together. Were any of those people have any real life stories that you recruited, or were they just feeling it? And did you pull it out of them?
I mean, I try even the tiniest parts. If you're talking about the people that she interviewed in the very beginning, I try to find good actors, no matter how big or small the part is. You try to find. And they're all people I've either known or worked with or wanted to work with. For that particular scene, though, what I think, and I can't really take credit for it as a director because it was kind of an accident, but apparently some of them didn't know they were going to do... Basically, they all sort of are speaking about their near-death experiences, and it jump cuts from so that they almost all are saying the same thing. The way we shot that is that all these actors had to say the whole monologue, and then we kind of pick which pieces we use. But what happened is these guys all thought they only had one or two lines. They didn't know they were going to be saying the whole thing. So a lot of them had just memorized it before we started shooting. So I think there's this kind of natural, they all brought their own because they didn't build a performance, they sort of just said it, you know, and found and hadn't had to find
sure.
it.
So it's more organic.
It gives it that searching feeling as if somebody was trying to recall a fuzzy memory or experience, I think, kind of helped.
You got some great members of your cast, some pretty accomplished, Lisa Eckhorn.
Oh, yeah.
As well. She plays the doctor. How do you do casting? Like, how, you know, what is your method? I mean, it's such a personal project to you, writing and directing. I mean, did you guys go out to a professional casting agency, or did you kind of go through the friends and family network of the industry? How did you do the majority of your casting?
It's usually just people that I've worked with, and then on this one we found, like, I'd kind of written the role with Molly in mind, and then for a while, I had to try to convince her because it was so different from what she had done previously, and, you know, it was a process, but she eventually agreed to do it, and in the meantime, we had auditioned a bunch of New York actors that I hadn't worked with, who kind of filled out the rest of the cast. Lisa Eckhorn is actually a teacher of mine at film school, and we kept in touch and kind of built up a friendship. And so I had wanted her to work on my first film, but I just didn't ask her because I didn't know she'd be interested in doing it. And she had always said, you know, I wish you'd asked me, I would have. But for this one, I kind of was like, of course, you know, I think she's an amazing actor, and she's taught me so much about storytelling and about directing actors that I wanted to include her. One of the real finds is Grace Holson, who plays Sarah, the girl dying of cancer. She, and this is the first thing she's done since graduating college, and then she was 23, 22 when we read her. And she just, you know, she's scarily good now, and she's going to get better. So it was really, you know, and she's so happy to be there. She's so excited. So that kind of energy on set when somebody's so new to somebody and they love it so much is kind of contagious for everybody else. So it's a mixture of just, doing a casting myself, utilizing people I'd worked with before, and then also just reaching out and finding new people.
Yeah, especially when it's something that personal to you. It's important to have people on that journey with you that kind of feel, your vibe, and that you trust.
Yeah, the same goes for the crew, too, as you find. You know, I think you just have to build a really good group of talented, hungry people that want to be there. And then if you just treat them with, you know, respect and encourage them and give them, you know, space to work, they'll give you their best. You know, they'll even push themselves even a little bit further.
Hey, everybody. This is Ron Trupo with the Catalina Film Society. You're listening to an interview that I had with David Spaltrow. He is the writer and director of Things I Don't Understand. That will be at the Film Society screening this Saturday, October 13th, at the Hotel Metropole at 7 p.m. And it's a pretty interesting drama about a grad student that's dealing with an eviction in Brooklyn and forms a cathartic relationship with a local bartender hiding his own secrets in a terminally ill hospice patient she's interviewing for her thesis on what happens after we die. So it's a very interesting drama in the same vein for this October Halloween month. So come out. And you can also find more information about it at catalinafilm.com. And here is the interview with David Spaltrow.
I mean, the film seems like it's doing well on the circuit. You're just in the San Diego Film Festival a week ago?
Yeah, we had a really good screening in San Diego. We've been touring since April, on and off, across the country. We're going to start some international dates hopefully in the new year. But we've been doing really well. We've been having really good screenings, but we've also been winning. We've won a couple of best awards that we've won, but we've also
won. You got the best narrative feature at the Indie Spirit Film Festival, the Philadelphia, the Independent Film Festival, winner of the best narrative feature, Blue Whiskey Independent Film Festival, Audience Award, best actress, best supporting. That's pretty cool. You even won the Burbank International Film Festival as the best narrative.
Yeah, it's been really exciting because the screenings have been so good, and some of those awards have also just been, I mean, the actors have been thankfully honored too, but a lot of those awards have also just been audience awards, which has been kind of fun because it's a very particular film, like you were saying, with themes based in New York. So you imagine that the film has a range of playing for, say, 20-somethings who are interested in the subject matter, or it's New York, it's L.A., it's East Coast, West Coast, but it's been playing in Colorado, it's been playing in Iowa. We're going to actually have it in Kansas later this month. So what's been encouraging is, other than the fact that people are enjoying it, is that it seems to have a universal appeal in a theme that is playing, like the age of the people watching the film has been different, their backgrounds have been different. But they're getting the human idea because I think it's a quest of the character, you know, is something that on some level everybody has at some point in their life.
Do you go to a lot of the festivals yourself, or is it, you know, in the indie world you got budgetary constraints? I know now you're going to be at the San Pedro International Film Festival, same time it screens at the Catalina Film Society. But I mean, do you go, I want to go see that famous Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro, and do you try to budget a festival route for yourself?
Well, I've been on tour with the film all summer, and only recently has like my producer been helping out. He's been going to ones I can't make, and so we've been going together, and I've gone with a couple of the actors. I just went with Lynn Justinger, who was a small role in this film, and who I'm working with in this film. She came to San Diego. I've gone to Chicago with Molly. So it's been fun to go and tour with it. It's definitely... You try to find the most, some of the festivals have been really good with helping us, you know, put us up or getting us discounts, or I had a friend who's been helping us, like, points on flights. So you start doing it very cheaply, and you're trying to, like, figure out the best route. But it's been, you know, and it's been fun. It's been fun to go to these places and get to see the film play in all these different spots and really get to meet the filmmakers, which I think is the best thing. So I would say anybody who sees the film in San Pedro and wants to quickly take a boat or car to, you know, Catalina, they like want to see the film right away. Swim. I say go swim.
Yeah, so it's 26 miles, so you gotta be come with your swimming lungs, Michael Phelps style.
Limber up a bit. 40 miles.
Hey, everybody, this is Ron Trupo with the Catalina Film Society. You're listening to an interview that I had with David Spaltrow. He is the writer and director of Things I Don't Understand. That will be at the Film Society screening this Saturday, October 13th, at the Hotel Metropole at 7 p.m. And it's a pretty interesting drama about a grad student that's dealing with an eviction in Brooklyn and forms a cathartic relationship with a local bartender hiding his own secrets and a terminally ill hospice patient she's interviewing for her thesis on what happens after we die. So it's a very interesting drama in the same vein for this October Halloween month. So come out. And you can also find more information about it at catalinafilm.com. And here is the interview with David Spaltrow.
Well, I mean, a lot of the questions that we get from the Film Society members is, like, the journey. So, I mean, you know, you've got your journey with the film that you want to take people on, but the film actually ends up taking you on a journey probably for the next 2 or 3 years after it's done. And it fascinates the Film Society audience because they don't understand every good independent film after good independent film that we put in front of them, why a lot of these films don't have distribution or why they're not in the theaters. And, you know, so what are your next steps? What's your journey been like so far with distributors, with the accolades that come from the festivals? How's your journey been?
It's been good. I think, you know, like our film, we don't have any giant names, not a genre film. We're talking with some sales agents right now about we'll probably lock down our distribution sometime in the next couple of months and hopefully have the film out some kind of platform release, DVD, VOD, later on. It's really hard because, you know, just in general, there's just an oversaturation of films being made by studios, by independent filmmakers. It's media content. There's TV. You're competing with iPhone games and Facebook and, you know, there's just a lot for people to pick from, and so sometimes things get lost. Also, I think it's hard on a business sense to explain to people who are like, "Wow, this is a really good film. People would want to see this. Why isn't it out?" It's things like the different markets. You know, if you're trying to say distribute a film like this or like ours in a foreign country, it doesn't matter if the story's good because they don't speak English. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Film sometimes. Whether they're good or they're not well made, a film that has a better chance to succeed that doesn't say have a bankable name is one that you can kind of turn the sound off and just kind of watch special effects or hit the overall gist and it can play anywhere. That doesn't mean that stories that have any kind of or films that have any kind of story or value can't find an audience. You can't. I think there's a film. It's Mike Birbiglia, Sleepwalk with Me. That was doing great, and you know, but he had an audience. He built it on NPR telling these stories. Then he made a film about his sleepwalking condition and trying to be a comedian, and it's done really, really well theatrically for an independent film. So I think the trick is trying to build an audience, which is important. Why you take the film to all these festivals is to meet the people and, you know, let them know this thing exists and try to do the press and the interviews and the. And just spread the word, and then so I think that other than just trying to make a very good film, you know, what is good work if nobody knows it exists? You know, like a tree falls in the woods, you know, and nobody is around, and you hear, you know,
sure.
That kind of mentality. So I think that's the real trick and secret is giving the film a story, giving the film an audience, and just kind of really pushing it, other than just making a good film.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the challenge of any artist in any sort of artistic endeavor. When you think about
sure.
it, and you even think about painting, it doesn't seem like they get their due until, unfortunately, they die, and all of a sudden, the urgency of wanting to know what their work was seems to be a little bit more intensified. And
yeah,
I'm not wishing that upon you by any means, David.
No,
I'm just saying,
it
seems to be the plague of the artist.
Yeah, but I think to a true artist, like, look, I think we all want, you know, to be patted on the shoulder. We all want the acclaim, the awards. We all want that kind of justification, validation. But I think the true artist, at the end of the day, if you create something, you know, and you want the world to see it, the one thing you have now is you do have the ability that, like, worst case scenario, you can just put the film online. You can throw it on YouTube, you can throw it on Vimeo, you can, and I think, you know, that there's nothing to, so you have to really just figure out what your goal is too. You know, if your goal is to, like, you have investors you need to pay back, or you have other things. For me, my goal is that I think there's a lot of really talented people who worked on this film. It's been a labor of love that I've been working on for the last 4 years of my life. And for me, the overall goal is to make sure that their work is validated and appreciated as much as my own. Because without them, it wouldn't live and it wouldn't exist. So for me to push to get the best distribution deal, you know, it's never going to make a ton of money. You know, there isn't a ton of money out there in the world right now for this kind of stuff. But if it has a chance to kind of have the word of mouth buzz that it's been having on the festival circuit just by being released, that is kind of what I'm hoping for, and that's kind of my goal. But I think everybody has to kind of pick, you know, be honest with themselves about what their real, because there are realities in the world, but it doesn't mean that you can't overcome them or find your own kind of model for success or, you know.
Right, and I think that's what fascinates people, is that you could be doing all of this knowing that, going into that, that you're going to dedicate 4 years of your life to this independent film that you know doesn't have much weight in the commercial market, but you're still going to do it for your, you know, artistic love and passion and what you want it to become. And I think that fascinates a general audience that could never imagine themselves investing that much time into something that may or not pay off financially.
I think it's love.
Go ahead.
You have to love it. Like, I think, you know, if you're just in it to make money or be successful, there are better there's just easier ways to do it. It's like kind of like if you want to make money, there's definitely fields that are more commercially viable, especially starting out, and especially if the kind of films you want to make are not, say, the ones that are very commercially viable. But if you love something, then you do it, like I said, first and foremost. And I think to put 4 years of your life day in, day out, regardless of everything else going on, other jobs and people, that has to be love, because there's no logical, you know, reason to do outside of that.
Yeah, if you want to make money, start a film festival. I think everyone believes that, too. I don't think they really realize what goes into the ins and outs.
Oh, it's a ton of, you guys have my, I mean, the only thing I think tougher than making a film is running one of those festivals, the amount of just work, and I commend you guys, because without you, we wouldn't have, you know, a venue to show our stuff.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. No, it's a hustle. It's hundreds and volunteers and, you know, making sure your filmmakers are treated right and giving them their due, and, you know, so, I mean, yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate, I really do appreciate you giving us your baby, because that's basically what it is. We have a very appreciative film audience, so I'm excited for them to see it. I'm Ron Trupa. I'm the director of the Catalina Film Festival and the Catalina Film Society, talking with David Spaltro, who is the writer-director of Things I Don't Understand, which will be showing this Saturday at the Hotel Metropole conference room. And you can come at 7 o'clock to come see his masterpiece.
Thank you.
David, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You too, man. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
That was David Spaltro, the writer and director of Things I Don't Understand, which will be screening at the Catalina Film Society this Saturday, October 13th, at the Hotel Metropole Conference Room at 7 p.m. Come and get free refreshments and snacks. There's a $10 suggested donation, and we will have more information on catalinafilm.com. We would love to see you at the movies, and come enjoy great independent film every second Saturday of the month with some great independent filmmakers. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.